Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Paula Price Show, everyone, and welcome Dr. Paula Price. How are you doing today?
I am fine. We're having a great Indian summer here, Ashley. So you can imagine, I'm feeling really, really good about that. That means that we're delaying the fall and the winter. Well, I want to welcome everybody. Thank you all for joining me this week. I'm excited about what we're doing. I'm excited about having you. You know, and you guys hear me say it every week, because guess what? You excite me every week. I get a kick out of the call. I love a guest we're having. You're going to tell us in a minute, Ashley, about our special guest for today. I love the guests that we're having. I love the callers and the prayers, the prayer requests and the testimonies. So, listen, I'm probably going to sound redundant every week, and you'll forgive me. Maybe it'll become my standard, but I want to welcome you all to the Paula Price Show this wonderful sunny Thursday in the end of August. Ashley, can you believe we are at the end of August?
No, I can't, actually. I was looking at the date thinking it's August 28th already. It just seemed like we were at Resurrection Sunday.
I know. It is amazing how fast time is traveling and life is moving on. You know, I keep telling God one day we're going to have a sit-down and we're going to talk about this button that he pushed, because I am convinced that he pushed a button somewhere and he's got us all running like hamsters trying to keep up with his new time. And so, but anyway, we thank the Lord for bringing us this far. Actually, we had a great time in Chicago, did we not?
Oh, we had an outstanding time in Chicago. We were up and down the highway, I think, more times than a few. And you ministered powerfully in a few locations. So it was everything we prayed for, that it would be: the revelation, the teaching, the worship, the hospitality, the reception, the excitement. It was great.
I enjoyed it, and I thank Apostle Nora Parker and Antioch Christian Assembly for doing this every year, and this year was really wonderful. As you said, we got a chance to travel. We met different people. I got new friends and new contacts and connections, and so I'm right now sitting on the edge of my seat wondering what God is going to do next, because we are going to be, our next stop on the journey is in Connecticut.
That's right. And your Connecticut apostle, Suzanne Howard, she showed up in Joliet. It was great.
It was wonderful getting an opportunity to see her before I'm going to meet her. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, I was born and raised on the East Coast, and, you know, I came to Tulsa from New Jersey. Ashley, you came to Tulsa from Pennsylvania, and it's really ironic how many of our people here migrated from the east or the west to the heart of our country. But anyway, I have not been back home in Tulsa, I mean from Tulsa to Jersey, in about 4 years, and prior to that I hadn't been home in about 5 or 6 years. So it's going to be interesting to see what it's like to hit my own stomping ground and make some reconnections with some people. I did a great work there in my home state before I relocated here to Tulsa, so it'll be good to go back and see what's going on. I can't thank God enough for Apostle Suzanne. We're going to have her on the show, I believe, next week, Ashley, to tell us about what she has planned. But I'm looking forward to visiting there, and I'm looking forward to seeing what God has been doing in the Connecticut area. So, Ashley, take 30 seconds. I'm not going to time you. I'm going to trust that clock on the inside of you and tell them about where we're going to be in Connecticut.
Well, in Connecticut, we're going to be at the Apostle's House, which is Apostle Suzanne Howard in Hartford, Connecticut. Her address is 131 East Elliott Street in Hartford. Dr. Price is going to be there for her anniversary celebration weekend. It's open to the public, and she'll be Friday, September 19th, 7:30 p.m. And the theme is Apostles and Prophets Reunion, calling all fivefold ministers, So if ever there was a title that tells you who's invited, I think that one has wrapped it up quite nicely. Apostles and Prophets Union, calling all fivefold ministers. So there you go. It doesn't matter which piece of the fold you belong to. You need to be there. There are registration details and pastoral seating. And so she wants to know ahead of time, you can go to www.theapostleshouse.net. for registration information as well. We will be circulating the banner, the flyer for the event, as well as Prophet Adia is always blasting out to our mailing list anywhere you are going, Dr. Price, so people can register even through our mailing list for these events and find you wherever you are. So I know it's going to be a powerful weekend. I love the flyer. It has a picture of the handbook, the Prophet's Dictionary in two languages, the ABCs of Apostleship, EG, and Before the Garden, lined up right by your wonderful, beautiful face. So I love it.
I love it, too, because, you know, when I look at it, I say, wow, I guess I have been a little busy in my, you know, more than three decades of serving the Lord, which I have enjoyed immensely. I cannot tell you how much I have enjoyed serving God. And I realized that you have to grow up in God to really appreciate him and to get him, because God's mature. God is at the end of all that he's going to do. He's as mature as he's going to be. He's as strong and whatever else that he is going to be. God is already there. And so when we enter him, we enter his world, actually sometimes we find him difficult because God is finished. He's bringing us to a place of realization, a place of knowledge, and a place of maturity in him. As a matter of fact, when you read the New Testament and you read about the Lord Jesus Christ, he talks over and over and over again about us being mature, not being children. And in today's vernacular, we would say, you know, stop being childish. So I have found that the more I grew in God and the more I got to learn him, and he helped quite a bit along the way, the more I realized that he is one spectacular person. God has a spectacular personality. Just beyond his office, God, you know, and beyond his official duties of being God and doing God things in all creation and being responsible for all that he brought into existence, just as a person, stepping away from all of that and allowing me to meet him and to deal with him in various contexts, I find that he is a phenomenal person. He has a great personality, and I love it. I tell him that all the time. I mean, amazing personality, phenomenal sense of humor. You know, you couldn't even believe. I was wondering, how can God have a sense of humor considering the fact that he has the world and several other worlds on his shoulders? But somehow or another, he manages to strike that balance between the pressures of what he is responsible for and maintaining his joy in spite of it all. And not only that, if God just maintained his joy, if he just, you know, stayed upbeat, for lack of a better term, that would only be just a smidgen of what he's done, because he also managed to become the supplier of that to everything he brings into the planet. He supplies everything joy, everything faith. He supplies hope. He supplies all of that and still manages to have a good measure for himself. So I've been having a great time. And I bring this up, Ashley, because I'm writing, you know, I'm finally wrapping up my book to get it done by the end of next month. And in this particular work, God has been amazingly attentive. He's coached me, informed me, instructed me. He's guided my pen, guided my thoughts, and all of those kinds of things as I'm doing it. And I began to, you know, see him as distinct from the office God, the judge God, you know, the all of those things that he does. Because I think as his children, we forget that. We always say we want a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but we don't really want to be personal with him. We don't want to be up close and personal with him. We want a long-distance relationship with God where we get access at our will when we want, when we need him. But when you get past all of the gotta have, need, or won't you do, why didn't you do, it's your fault, I really am mad with you. When you get past all of those childhood pubescent years in God. I call them the pubescent years in Christ. You know, your teenagers could care less about you, you know, continually. They love you as mom or dad or aunt, uncle, whatever. But their number one thing in the world is themselves. Everything about a teenager is about themselves because their little souls are small, their spirits are small, their experiences are tiny, their world is tiny. So they really, unless they go through something traumatic or they're forced out of the comfort zone of home life, they pretty much are self-centered. You know, it's about their feelings and their needs and their rest and their fatigue and their hunger and their inferiorities and insecurities. And all parents have to them is duties. That's all the parents have to their teenagers, duties. They have duties and obligations and all of that. And that's what you pretty much expect from a teen. As your youngster moves into adulthood and starts getting a little older, we do expect a little bit more concern for others, you know. So they may start out as a little tyke and, you know, they get into their elementary and junior high school years. But ultimately, you're looking for a relationship where there's a payoff, maybe not a payback, but there certainly should be a payoff where you begin to enjoy this person that is an expression of yourself, that is a literal extension of yourself, and give, you know, and in another time, another era, under different circumstances. And so I think it's phenomenal when we can grow in Christ in like manner, and we begin to think about him beyond his duties and obligations to us. You know, God is very relational, and I know we know that. I mean, he's a father and all of that. But he's very relational. He loves to relate. He loves to chat. He loves to interact. He loves visits and communion. He loves sharing his heart. Most of us don't have time for God to share his heart because we're too busy using up all of the air and oxygen in the room sharing our heart. But I think that today, this doing this book and working through it and really kind of hammering out his life and his life experience brought me closer to God. And I'll tell you how to know if you're closer to God. When God is more, becomes more of a person than a provider, than a supplier, than a rescuer, then you know you have grown in Christ. When God's interest interests you, when his concerns concern you, because that is what we look for in our adult children. You know, if we've done our jobs correctly and we did not make them God in our lives, then we are looking for that payoff that they would be interested in us. They would be concerned about our lives and our life experience, that, you know, visits and encounters with our children will become social as well as, you know, maternal or paternal. And so when you have reached a place in your relationship with God, and it doesn't come easy. I found out it doesn't come easy. But when you've reached that place in Christ where his duties and his obligations to you are secondary instead of primary, you know, the reason I came to pray was because I need and because I. And you start seeking out his company and his companionship just because you are well on your way to being a very mature Christian. Because if you feel that way about him, he ceases to be an object of your provisions or a source of your provisions, and he becomes the object of your affections, and you become fond of him. You know, a lot of people are not fond of Christ. They're not fond of God. That's why so many Christians have problems with him. That's why so many Christians want to change him, because they don't have a fondness for who he is. And they don't have an awareness of his experiences and of his own existence, you know. As far as we're concerned, he's strong, he's almighty. If we give him that much credit, he's strong, he's almighty, he can handle it, he's tough. And we're the kid, and he's the dad, and he's there for us. Or if, depending on what you believe, he's your elder brother, and he's there for you. But, you know, God has his own feelings. For example, he wanted friends. God wanted friends. He wanted family. He wanted children. He told Abraham, was my friend. He said, I need a friend. I need somebody that I can be off duty with. How many of you all would love to be on duty 24/7? You're just on duty, on demand, just on duty, on demand. You're just sitting at this desk, rubber stamping this and rubber stamping that as we file in with our needs and petitions and file out with his approval or his provision. But God says, I want friends. I want buddies. I want pals. I want people that I can just talk with and share with that I can think out loud with. God can't even think out loud with us because if we hear anything that comes out of his mouth, it's a prophecy. We're going to hit the road with a tape and a cassette, a video, a YouTube, and by the time it's all over, we've got him blasted all over and published all out, whatever, because he just happened to share a few thoughts with us because it was never about his best interest. And so as you grow in God and you say, well, I really want to figure God out. I really want to get closer to the Lord. The first thing you have to do is get very close and very intimate with Jesus, because Jesus is the only way you're going to understand God. God put Jesus, installed Jesus as a shield between himself and his creation, in the same way that the veil that was at the temple was separating God's tender part, his vulnerable self, if you will, his open self from his institution. So Jesus is now that veil. So you've got to get really close with the Lord Jesus. And that means that you're not going to be able to sit around and have all of these debates as to whether he is or isn't, did or didn't, and all of that stuff, because that's not what people do with you. You know, if people want to get close to you, they want to know you better. If they want to have a more intimate relationship with you, they don't start with tearing you apart. They don't start with criticizing you. They don't start with discrediting who you are or trying to find ways in which you are not what you say you are. That pretty much is going to kill any relationship. And so if you want to get close to God, and I just hear some of you listening to me this morning, I really wanted to get into that place with him. I really want to understand him that way. Then you're going to have to start with Jesus Christ. Because that's his son, but that's also his gatekeeper. Jesus is the Father's guardian, his filter, and on and on and on and go. Now, you want to get close to Jesus, well, you see, he has his own shield too. And he has a curtain called the Holy Ghost. And so you've got to come by way of the Holy Spirit to step into Christ. You've got to come because Jesus has his own filters. He's like, all right, I've been to earth. You know, I know what you guys do there. I know what it's like in your planet. I know how much you don't get us. We understand how you like to offend and disrespect and all of those kinds of things. So I'm going to receive you, but I'm going to receive you by my spirit. So you're going to learn all of the protocols, if you will, and the instructions and the parameters for interacting with the Godhead, beginning with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is very good at what he does. He's not going to just let you through because you want to. Now, here's where God is interesting. And actually, I do a whole section in my book, Before the Garden. I do a whole section on defining and describing and illustrating the Holy Spirit. It is a phenomenal chapter. Most of you all you will appreciate it. But if you're going to get to Christ, you're going to have to appeal to the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is the beginning and the first start. So Paul discovered that. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And today we not only grieve him, forget grief, we just downright ignore him. We bum rush him. We try to bounce back through and all of those kinds of things and all of that just because we don't know any better. But if you happen to get to that place, and I've had a blast doing this book because it brought me into a place with the Lord that I never dreamed, and yet I did. I always dreamed, but I never really dreamed it would happen. And so you finally get there, and then you have to go by the son because the son is going to tell you exactly how his dad is. Now, you know, when your kids bring home folks to meet you, they bring home, they're telling their friends, now listen, my father's like this, my mother's like this, we don't do this, we do this, da-da-da, you don't want to say this, da-da-da. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing to get you to Jesus, and that's what Jesus does to get you to the Father. And so you can say, this is me, you know, and the friend that says, well, this is how I am, and well, they'll just have to take me or leave me. If you're a kid or child who loves your parents, you just aren't going to bring that person home. They're just going to, you leave them in the car, don't come in, I'm going to come back out, I'm just going to pick up a few things, come in, and come back out. You don't want your parents to even have to be affronted by them, even if they are something that you can tolerate or that you appreciate. Well, same way with God, same way with the Holy Spirit. If you feel like, I don't really care how Jesus is, as far as I'm concerned, he's a son, I'm a son, and all of that. If you have that attitude, the Holy Spirit is never going to let you get to him, not to the place you want. You just never will. And you'll always have a thousand questions about the Lord, and you'll always have all of these curiosities. You'll live in perplexity over and over again simply because you have got to come by way the Holy Spirit says he is. And you've got to enter God's house and God's presence the way God desires, the way that's pleasing to him. You know, God has already proven that he can do without us. He did that for like ages. So really, he can do that. That's not his ideal, but he can tolerate that more than he can tolerate us affronting him, offending him, and all of those kinds of things. And not thinking that he's worth the effort. I think today, in today's modern environment, everything is built around what God must tolerate, what he can put up with, how he is. When you look at the way people go to church, the way they pray, the way they do anything they want to do, nobody goes through any effort to approach him. We'll go, take me as I am. This is how I am. So deal with that. And he is constantly being told every day. I travel churches all around. Being told, just deal with it. Because God, this is how I am. This is the best I could do. This is how I see you. This is how, if you want a relationship with me, God, you have to take it on this basis. And most people don't even realize God didn't. He's not taking them on that basis at all. He's doing his job. And that's the difference. God does his job so well that you think when he's doing his job, he is accepting you devotionally. And he isn't. He's doing his job. If he called you to be a preacher, you're going to get words, you're going to get sermons, you're going to get the memos, you'll get all of that because he's doing his job. But you still know that you and God are not where you want to be or could be because after he does his job, he doesn't do anything else. When he talks to you, it's about work. A lot of people haven't realized that, but when he talks to you, he just talks about work. He doesn't share his heart. He doesn't, it's all about work. You want it about work, God keeps it about work. So you don't realize that all these years that you say, oh, now we get along fine, or so-and-so, you don't realize it until you meet another person who's getting something entirely different from Christ, something that you have never even thought was possible. Why? Because you establish your relationship with God as a working relationship. And a lot of people have done that. Other people have established their relationship with God as an entitlement relationship. I bring my papers, you give me what I'm entitled, and that's all he does. But everything else he keeps to himself. So there was something that happened between God and Abraham that said, he's my friend. They had discussions and they had interactions that were phenomenal. Enoch, 65 years, Enoch is just doing whatever he does, but whatever he did, in those 65 years, after he'd raised his family, God said, you're going to be my buddy. You're going to be my friend. You're going to be my confidant. You're going to be who I draw close. When I want to deal with a human outside of my duties and obligations, you're going to be that one. So I'm going to think and think out loud with you and share with you and bring you into my world and into my secrets. And they got so close, God ceased to want to do without it. He just didn't want to do without Enoch any longer. He's like, I'm not sending you back any longer because, listen, you're more valuable to me here than there. And so that's how their life turned out. And then you look around there, so you've got Enoch, and then you come all the way down, and he says, Abraham's my friend. And then he comes down again. He got another friend, Moses. Same thing. They start out on this campaign together, and it starts out a working relationship. They're just doing a job together. God inducted Moses into this venture. Moses is helping God. There you go. We're fine. But somewhere their relationship turned into something more. Moses proved that he had a deeper regard for God and a broader perspective on who he is outside of what they did. When Moses pitched his tent outside of the camp, God and Moses became buds. You know, and when it's over, here we go. Moses dies. Moses dies, and Jude tells us that God won't let him go to hell. Like, everybody has to go, but not Moses. God says, no, now let him see death, because they had that whole Meribah issue. But but he never let him go the way of all the earth. Now, Abraham did. He let Abraham go, but not Moses, because you know that how he shows up with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. So then we know that. Then the next time he has another friend, he's got David, man after my own heart. Now, you're talking about strong will. Now, these two, their relationship was phenomenal. They fought all the time. David and God always had something going on. But David had God's heart. Why? Because at the core of his existence, this man kept God's interest first. He made the Lord know you're important, what God's preferences. You know, most people don't like God's preferences because you're dealing with them as his laws, because he has to maintain. So that's his working responsibilities. And so you're dealing with his responsibilities instead of his preferences and his attitudes about life, you know. So God can't tell you, I don't want you to wear this, I don't want you to wear that, because he's infringing on your rights. Because you are still in that pubescent era where it's all about you and it's nothing about him. It never crossed your mind that he may have a good reason for his standards. He just might. He may have some very good reasons for his standards, for doing things the way he does it. I mean, he's been around forever. He might have learned a few things. So anyway, but God and David, they have this, or whatever, and then they have this real breach. And you would think, oh, man, God still said, but David, it's after my heart, and I'm going to set him up as an eternal king. He's the prototype I want for leadership. He's the prototype I want for monarchy. So David is it. And so you look at that, and then you go on down the line, and you see different ones. Isaiah, he really wanted Isaiah to wrap his head around who he was. Ezekiel really needed him to do that. Daniel wanted to make sure that. But he had these people push themselves by putting his interest first, by making his interest and his vulnerabilities and his concern priorities in their life. Right on down to you get down to Jesus, which, you know, kind of goes without saying. But then we go into the apostles, and then we go into Paul. Now, Paul, unlike the other apostles, my goodness, he didn't see the guy. He hadn't been, I mean, he was out there, you know, to kill him. And if Paul had met Jesus, he probably would have killed him. Because that's really what he was until Jesus rose from the dead. They go from there to Paul talking about, I'm in third heaven. God's showing me this and showing me that. Right on down to the point that Paul is saying, you know, God is just trying to call me home. But, you know, I think I got a few more things to do. So I'm a little bit betwixt and between about whether or not I'm going to go home and to be with God when and leave you on your own. Or if I'm going to, you know, just stick it out here with you all. You reach that place with the Lord. But I think the most precious relationship that I've always celebrated, and it shows up a lot in my writing of this book, is the Lord's relationship with John. You know, he comes down and he takes on flesh, he enters the world, and he starts his ministry, and he finds this guy who gets him, who really not only gets him, is interested in him. See, God will, he's interested in all of us. But only a few of us are interested in him because he's always on duty to us. He's always has his responsibilities. He's always there to meet our needs. He's dad. It's, you know, dad doesn't have feelings. Half of your children didn't even think you had a life before them. And we feel that way about God. He really didn't have a life before us. And so here's John. And John is his buddy. Jesus, when you read the Gospel of John, it's so different because it's a friend divulging his innermost secrets to a friend and revealing it in a way that he could not reveal it with any other one. Now, he used all of the others. He loved all the apostles. This wasn't about love. This is about interaction. This is about intimacy. And so John gets to know all Jesus' secrets, and he shares them. And it's so important to John that it changes him for life. But then Jesus remembers. So he wants to come back to the planet and kind of, you know, program it for its end times. And where does he go? To the one who always got him. Why? Little explanation, little excusing, little oversight, minor indulgences. This guy already knows him. It's kind of like your best friend. All of those preliminaries that you need with everyone else, you don't need with your best friend. You don't need it with that person who understands you and regards you and respects you. And so as we're entering this season with Christ, you know, God is looking for people who are growing up and who have grown up in him, who want to be close to him and who want to be close to him, not for their own personal advantages, but for God's best interest, for God's preferences. He doesn't have to explain himself. He doesn't have to tell you why he needs you to put your clothes on. He doesn't have to tell you why he needs you to dress up for something. He doesn't have to tell you why you need to pay tithe. All of those minor things, those really obligatory things, are kind of minor to God in terms of that, because they would come natural if he was important. Like most of the debates we have because we are the priority. But when God becomes a priority, you don't care about half of that because you know how great he is. You know how intelligent he is. You have experienced his personality. You know his life and the things that he has dealt with. And as a result, he is God. But as a result, you are his friend. And he trusts you, and he brings you into his confidences, and he brings you by his side because you make him feel good. Not just that he makes you feel good, but you make him feel good. So anyway, Ashley, that was my exhortation for today.
Wow. Well, I certainly feel exhorted, maybe a little pinched, a little, just about the whole relationship element with God. It is natural, the way we've been taught a lot, to just have God on duty all the time. You go to him because you need something, you want something, or what you asked for hasn't shown up yet. And you're like, didn't I put that on expedited shipping, that miracle, that breakthrough? Why is it taking the snail mail route to get here? And so you definitely brought up some key points there about us handling God as though he really is a person. When you said when God becomes more of a person and less of a supplier, I actually said, ouch. I was like, ooh, wow. What is the inspiration for most of the times that I go to the Lord? And I'm pleased to say that over the years, my relationship has substantially matured to where he is that person. But sometimes you get in that habit, in that routine, just like the kid. Dad, can I have some money? Dad, can I have the keys to the car? Dad, can I want to go out and buy some new clothes. And after a while, the parent puts their foot down, and they're like, look, I'm more than an ATM machine here. And so God does that too. And, of course, when his interests interest us, then our relationship has grown. I think that's a very nice mile marker. What I appreciate about the Paula Price Show is you're always giving us roadmaps and signs along the way to let us know if we're headed in the right direction with our relationship with God. That's something that is tangible and recognizable. Oh, man, do I think about God's interest or don't I think? Some people, that's all they think about all the time. And others, they really don't give it a second thought. And if they do, maybe only once or twice, kind of like people who go to church Christmas and Easter. You're just only going to have it happen once or twice a year. And that's about as deep as it gets. So those are some key things that you have mentioned. Have you established your relationship with God as a working relationship only? And that's pretty, you know, single dimensional. You don't even realize that you're only dealing with someone professionally until you sit down and have that one good, rich conversation with them, at which point, whether you say it out of your mouth or you just kind of say it in your heart, oh, I never really knew this person. How is it that I could be around them every day in the office or wherever the case may be, and you don't really know them? You don't know what makes them happy, what makes them sad, the life experiences that they've been through, why they do their job the way they do their job. So a lot of thoughts were happening when you were talking, Dr. Price, about that.
Well, I have to say those are very good pointers. And, you know, for me, God himself challenged me the first day we met. And I think he puts a challenge out there to everyone. But depending on our state of mind and why we chose him and why we got saved in that moment, we might miss the challenge. I think that we're going to see the Lord really present a challenge, another opportunity to many, many, many Christians today to know him better and to enter into a more mature and productive relationship. You know, sometimes our relationship with God is profitable. You know, he's always providing, but not productive. We aren't producing anything from it other than thank yous. You know, thank you, Lord. And so I'm looking forward to that side of the Lord. I enjoy him. I enjoy his company. And, you know, the funny thing about it is people think that when you enjoy God like that, that you're off somewhere humming in the dark or, you know, you sit in silence all the time or whatever, but that's not God. God loves life. He lives life. His world lives life. And he loves life. He loves music. He loves dance. You know, he loves song. He loves the talents that he put in us. He just wants us to think he's important enough to be above all of that and to call the shots on it. That's all he's asking. So anyway, I had a great time just sharing that with you all, Ashley, and I thank you for your pointers. I think those things that you got out of it were important. I'd love for our audience, as they as we start taking calls a little later in the show, to share with us what they thought about this and how this particular exhortation affected them. If you have a comment on that, please let us know. When she tells you to put your finger on that button, then you know we're ready. Let us know what your thoughts are and where you and God are in your walk. I'd be interested in that. If you have another question, a prayer request, or concern, you know we're going to cover that. But every now and then, I feel like, what is wrong with giving God a show? You know, what is wrong with giving God attention, making him center stage, giving him top billing? So that's part of what I wanted to do today. So if you have something like that, by all means, when she opens up the phone lines, please share that with us, and not just for my sake, but for all of those who are listening. Now, Prophet Ashley, we have our prophet on the ground, so we're going to do that. And then, but tell everyone before we go to her who our special guest is today. We have a guest.
We sure do today, Dr. Parks. After we come back from our announcement, today we have Apostle Dwan Holmes Rawlinson. She is back, actually, on the show. She popped in unscheduled just last week, and now she's back this week from Prophet Dwan Global Ministries Incorporated. She's going to be speaking with you, Dr. Parks, today about the Prophetic Convocation 2014 in Jacksonville, Florida. So after we have these announcements from Prophet Adia Peterson, we'll be right back with the Paula Price Show.
Well, God bless you, Paula Price Show audience. You're listening live to the Paula Price Show on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. And this is Prophet Adia with a little bit of news from the ground for you so that you can keep up with everything that is Paula Price Ministries. Coming up in September, Dr. Price is going to be on the road again. And we don't want you to miss any opportunity to see her live on the 19th of September. She's going to be in Hartford, Connecticut with the Apostles House and Suzanne Howard. For details, full details on any trip that Dr. Price is doing, you can actually visit her right there on www.drpaulaprice.com. You're going to click events and find out how you can contact the ministries where she'll be. So save that date, Friday, September 19th. She's going to be in Hartford, Connecticut, with Apostle Suzanne Howard and the Apostles House. That's going to be a weekend to remember. So if you're in that area, we don't want you to miss that. At the end of September, we have our major red carpet event for Before the Garden, the release of Before the Garden. You've been hearing Dr. Price talking about this book and about its coming out. If you're going to be in the Jacksonville, Florida area, you want to visit us right on drpaulaprice.com so you can find out all the details. It's going to be Friday night, September 26th, 7 o'clock p.m., a powerful prophets weekend that's going there with Apostle Dwan Holmes Rawlinson. It's going to be a powerful time. We cannot wait to see you join us out there, Jacksonville, Florida, Friday, September 26th. You can actually visit Dr. Price's Facebook page for more details about that. It starts at 7 o'clock p.m. that weekend, and you can also visit us on drpaulaprice.com. We'll make sure that you get connected with the information that you're going to need to participate. That's a Prophet's Convocation weekend, and it's going to be a powerful time. You can find out all the details again, drpaulaprice.com. That's Friday, September 19th, so you don't want to miss that. Also, coming up in November, we have our Apostolic Summit. It starts November 20th through the 22nd. We've extended our buy one, get one now through September 15th, so you don't want to delay. It's going to be a powerful, powerful weekend. Apostle Matthew Stevenson is going to be joining us from the Chicago area, and I tell you what, those two mantles together, Dr. Paula Price, Apostle Stevenson, it's going to be a pack of dynamite, so you don't want to miss that. It's going to kick off November 20th, which is a Thursday morning at 8 o'clock a.m. It's going to run through Saturday the 22nd through 12 p.m., so if you're making travel arrangements, we want to make sure you come in Wednesday night. We're going to have orientation and worship service on Wednesday night. It's going to be powerful, and then we're going to get right going into the summit on Thursday morning. Buy one, get one right now is buy one, get one for $125. So it's the best deal. Grab a friend. Make sure you come on out. We're going to be talking about that mind and operations of an apostolic Christian. And Dr. Price has been talking with you all about the importance of coming to an event like this. If you're an apostolic Christian, if you're one of those Christians who knows that you're called to the church of the future, this is the event for you. November 20th through the 22nd, you can visit drpaulaprice.com right now and find out how you can be a part of the buy one, get one for $125. Remember, we're going to close that buy one, get one out by September 15th, so don't delay. We've extended the deadline for you so that you can make your arrangements, all the information about the hotel and how you can book your room. It's all online. It's going to be held right within the Tulsa Southern Hills Crown Plaza, so you only need to go ahead and book your room, and everything will be right there in the hotel location. Again, it's going to be a powerful weekend. We want you to save that date and make sure that you come out to join us. Before I let you go, I want to give a huge shout out to our social media community. We cannot do this without you. Facebook, thank you so much. Your overwhelming support of Dr. Price's morning blog, we have felt that. We're reading your comments. We can't wait to talk with you more about all that you've been discussing. If you're new to the show today and you're listening for the first time, we want you to visit Dr. Paula Price on Facebook.com. It's Facebook.com/Dr. Paula Price. You can get in touch with her morning blog. She's been talking about all of these hard-hitting issues that we as apostolic and prophetic Christians really need to know and understand. So visit her there. Follow her page, Apostle Paula Price. Get in the discussion. Thank you so much for all the posts that you all have been posting. And we also can't forget to give love to our Twitter family. So Twitter, we thank you. Continue to tweet us. Continue to let us know how Dr. Price is impacting you. You can follow Dr. Price on Twitter at twitter.com/Dr. Paula Price. So we're going to see you in Connecticut, or we're going to see you in Florida, or we're going to see you right here in Tulsa for the Apostolic Summit. And, of course, as always, we're going to see you online. God bless you all. And don't forget to tell a friend to listen to The Paula Price Show live every Thursday on Blog Talk Radio. God bless.
Well, all right. Thank you, Prophet Adia, for always keeping us in the know. Dr. Price, back to you.
Well, it's good to be back. And when we're talking about social media, may I also remind everyone that I have the other side, which is my LinkedIn family. I've got, hundreds and hundreds of LinkedIn members and connections. So we're there. I'm going to start posting on LinkedIn, Ashley, some of my other marketplace kind of wisdom to share with them. I do a little bit of it, but not as much as I could. So I'd like to start, you know, very soon doing that. But, again, I'm with Prophet Adia. I love reading your posts. I'm telling you, I get such a kick out of them. And for those of you who wonder, well, how does she get time? Listen, everybody gets a breather. I may not be able to read every post, but we all get a breather sometimes. We talk on the phone. You know, we watch a show or whatever. It's at that time I open up my phone and I do it. Now, I may not be able to get everybody, so I don't make that promise. But as many as I can, I answer. So, but even if I don't, I get a kick out of it. I love reading it. I do. Some of your thoughts and your comments and your handling of the subject matter that I post, my goodness, it's impressive. So I do enjoy it. Don't get it in your mind that I don't. So Facebook me, tweet me, LinkedIn me, and also when you go to Facebook, like me so you can – I know that you're there. My likes have been increasing, Ashley, so I'm having a blast. But anyway, wanted to get that out before we went to one of my most beloved friends, Apostle Dwan, who is here. She is the reason that I will be in Jacksonville, Florida, and I wanted her to come on the show to tell you a little bit about this idea of prophetic convocation and how she got it and where she got it. So I'm going to turn to her. She'll introduce herself properly, tell you who she is, where she is, a little bit about her, and then we're going to get into our discussion. Apostle Dwan, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
I am great, my beloved. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know what? It tickles me to hear you talk about social media. I love it. I love it.
You know, it's a blessing, and trust me, it should, because, you know, I'm the diehard. You know, I don't mm-hmm. shift on anything easily. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm a diehard. So I can imagine why it tickled you. But it has become something that I dearly cherish. especially when the people cease being names and they start becoming people to you.
I know. I love it. I love it as well. And like you said, if we get a downer and when we get to rest and look, it's always fun to read what the people have to say.
It is. It is. So I'm going to let you start off by kick off by telling us a little bit about yourself. I'm glad that we met. I still can't believe we've known each other this long, but is God good or what? But anyway, you can tell us about yourself, and then we'll talk about this prophetic convocation you have coming up next month.
Amen. Thank you so much. Here is the deal. Let me tell, I tell people this. Of course, my name is Dawn Holmes Rawlinson. I grew up, and I'm going to tell you about that. I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska. I always joke and say, folks, there are black people in Omaha, Nebraska, just like there are black people in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so that's where I grew up, and I had a love for media then, and always thought that I would be on the Today Show because I was a news TV news anchor, reporter, did media, had an ad agency, and then all of a sudden, in the midst of me being on news, right around the year, it was the late 90s or early 2000, God began to speak to me about the prophetic and open up things, and people started saying, I perceive you are a prophet and all of that stuff, and I was a minister in training at a Baptist church at that time, and I said, what are you talking about, God? Next thing you know, he gave me so much credibility in media and then allowed me to transition to the prophetic and to the apostolic, and I have what's called the Global Institute of Church and Marketplace Prophets, the Global Institute of Church and Marketplace Prophets, where we essentially raise kingdom prophets, whether they're in the church or the marketplace, but we are also a liaison for pastors and prophets, a liaison for apostles and prophets, and the foremost mandate is to rid the prophetic of the perversion that has really overtaken it for years. And how do we do that? We just declare and decree and release purity throughout the land and throughout the globe. And that's what this convocation is all about. I'm excited that Paula Price, the one and only, the one who wrote the Prophet Dictionary, I'm so excited that she's going to be there with me because it was, many people don't know this, I was at your house years ago, and I'm sure you remember when I started telling you about the Global Institute of Church and Marketplace Prophets, and I was complaining about how long the name was. Do you remember that?
I do.
And I was saying, I don't think I should name it that. And you were like, listen, just obey God. If you just name it what he told you to name it, he'll bless it. And I did, and voila, here we are. And he's just really released a blessing upon us. Like, I don't even know that I really fathomed it because I didn't understand, I guess back then, that it would grow like this and that, you know, people would really come and they would want us to really teach about purity and really be able to distinguish between prophets and prophetic intercessors and really tell folks the truth about the mantle and why it's so important that no matter how much people call you a prophet or say that you have a prophetic unction, it's still good, it's still acceptable, and it's still right for you to be confirmed in public with the laying on of hands, and that's what this is all about.
And you know, we recently had that discussion briefly on one of your morning calls. And, yes, I do remember when you were incubating that. And your idea then struck me as something that God would run with. And so you were just making your own transition and accepting the prophets were going to do more than just, you know, go to church and prophesy. I want to go back to something else you said, and then I'm going to jump. I just want to make a little comment, and that is I love that you started in media because, you know, I often teach that the prophetic is God, divine communications media because that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and it's amazing that you migrated from secular to sacred media. I think God is just cool. I mean, cool.
It is. It's funny. I mean, we can laugh at it, and it's funny, but you know what is so cool? You and I both know this. No matter how much the public says they hate the media, they still give the media all kinds of credibility, and they still put you up on these pedestals. So from my perspective, I understood that God did that for a reason. Because to this day, I can pick up a phone call and call people and say, hey, I got this going on. What do you think? Or even now here in Jacksonville, when something's happening in social media, some kind of crazy stuff is happening, guess who they call? And, I do interviews even when I'm out ministering. I was getting ready to go minister, and I said, folks, I am not in Jacksonville, but, you know, if you put my picture up, I'll talk to you and speak to you, but I got 5 minutes, let's do it, and they put me on right away. So I love what God did. But, you know, it all goes hand in hand. He knows what he's doing.
Well, I just think that, because I really want my listeners to wrap their head around that reality, that God put you from that seat, anchoring that, to anchoring this. And think that that is such a powerful display of the prophetic being the not only God's divine communications media, but that God truly uses it in this magnitude. And so here you are with bringing all of that expertise with you, and you're saying, okay, so now we're going to do this for God. I'm convinced one day, baby, you're going to have a news bureau of something for the king. I'm just convinced you're going to do that, because I don't think God wasted all of that on anything. So I just wanted to say that because I think it's important. The other thing we discussed recently on your call was why this convocation was important, and we didn't get a chance to explore that. What I'd like to do in this call is to explore that a little more in terms of, let's say, if you were going to make a parallel between your previous career and what you're doing now in your ministry.
You know, I think it's so important that we are coming together. You know what? I have this unbelievable vision right now, and I'm equating this convocation almost to an Emmy gala, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think of it as the Emmys of the prophetic, because the other thing that's happening here, let's just break this down. For those, a convocation is essentially, it can be an assembly of clergy, or a formal assembly at a college or university, especially kind of a graduation ceremony. But we know nowadays when these ceremonies come together, there's lots of high things that happen. So it's a high holy convocation. But here's the deal: we didn't want to make it seem too, for lack of a better term, I'll say too. We didn't want it to put you in the same mind as what some of the other churches and denominations are doing. I'll put it that way, because mm-hmm. God gave me a vision of bridging the gap, but also doing something that would give us credibility all the way around, no matter who is looking, because we know that all eyes are looking and all eyes are on us. So this is going to be a great assembly. We're not going to just lay hands on the prophets, but I will actually, over this weekend, give out the certificates to those who actually pass the classes. And guess what? You got to study and you got to do something to pass the classes and the courses and the School of the Prophets. We don't just hand them out because you did it for 6 weeks and or even 6 months. You don't just get that. You've got to be proven in this. And so when I see this, I see it getting bigger and better each time. When I see this, I see that right now there's a buzz. People are saying, what is this? What do you call it? What is this prophetic convocation? And what does it look like? And what is this red carpet affair you're trying to have? Explain that. And I'm saying, well, I believe that we can also have a private prophetic conclave and gala where we celebrate those who are pioneers in our industry, those who are really doing things. And then I believe also that we shouldn't be afraid to invest in this. You know, if we're going to take the time to make this thing look beautiful, and if we're going to take the time to make sure that people are there and that there's impartation that will come forth, that there are things available not just for, you know, the neophyte, but there are going to be information available for those who consider themselves to be seasoned in the prophetic, you're going to want to be here. And so I just see this thing growing like almost a wildfire. But when we talk about what God is doing from a communication standpoint, I see every single day evidence that indeed he called me to this for this season, and he still wants me and needs me to use all the tools and all the education and all the experience that I develop as a communications ambassador. It just is what it is. And you know what? For a little while, I struggled with that. And I said, you know what? Let me not do this. Let me just go and do it this way. But I was a little disillusioned, and I was frustrated with church folk. And so, but God told me, forget the church folk and look towards the kingdom and the future. And as we do that, the ones who are supposed to get it and will march on with me. And those who won't, and, you know, shake the dust off my feet. Make sense?
Listen, I think it's absolutely wonderful, and I'm looking forward to it. I will say this to you, to all of you who are listening to us today, and again, this is Apostle Dwan Holmes Rawlinson of Global, wait a minute, let me get it, Global Marketplace.
See, look, that's why I said so long, GICMP, G-I-C-M-P, which stands for
I
Global.
Can stay with that. Global.
Yeah.
Institute? I can say with GICMP.
GICMP, that's easy, I know. And that's what you know what? That's what we're branding. We're branding it as GICMP.
Well, I could go with that. And what I love about her is that she is one of the many that the Lord raised up in Pharaoh's house and then brought into his kingdom. And so I appreciate that. I'm looking for more and more like you. I love to know that there are, because, you know, we're taught that the only people who want to come to Jesus are the people who haven't made it and couldn't make it elsewhere, who whatever. But, you know, God is a champion, and he pulls in his champions. So I'm excited about that. I also want to say for those of you who are listening that I wholeheartedly endorse the public affirmation and recognition of the newcomers to God's service. I have never been a fan of some, you know, that what I call those sneaky Pete prophetics. Mm-hmm. Somebody runs in, supposed to be on a guest speaking thing. Next thing you know, they're slinging oil and mantles on your folks and decreeing and declaring, mm-hmm. and they have all of this kind of mayhem. I, if that's how God starts it, that's fine. But that's not an end unto itself. And so I appreciate this because everything in Scripture tells me that God makes a big deal about how he puts people in his service. Why? Because we aren't the only ones who have to be affected by the newcomers. We talked a little bit on that call about how God has people, has angels who must back you. He has a whole prophetic institution that has to recognize you and to know that he has properly equipped you to take on who it is and what it is he's called you to do. Now, I can say this to you simply as a quick 30-second testimony. I got saved. When I got saved, I met my first angel. I met the angel that was supposed to get me to Christ. Well, of course, I didn't know that at the time, but as I grew, I got it. Then when I got promoted, that angel went on a ladder, went up to God, and another angel came down. So I said, well, God, who is this angel? He said, this one is to get you empowered for my service. So then as soon as he came down, and I mean, I might have had that angel for maybe three or four, and he brought like a network of officials with him. And so I come back, you know, because people wonder where I get this stuff, but me and God and I, we hang like that. And so he goes, you know, he tells them, and he sends this, and then after it's time for me to move and to move into apostleship, I get a whole different entourage. Mm-hmm. And so I say that because when the apostles took power, took their position, the first thing they met was the angels.
Angels.
Of their
apostles. Say that.
Okay? So that means that there is that invisible cloud of witnesses that also must recognize that we have done it right and that we're not an interloper. We're not just quantum leaping through one office fee and another, but that we have entered in through the door and through recognition. You know, we have a lot of us as charismatics, first of all, we like to pick at everything. You know, we mock and scorn whatever because, well, that's what we do. But we mock and scorn order and we mock and scorn ceremony and all of those kinds of things. And yet when my Bible tells me that in Revelation 5, when Jesus did what he had to do, there was a ceremony for him in heaven. That's what my Bible says. Now, maybe I got that other one that came down from the throne, but that's what I'm reading right now. And so he went through that, and it says that. It says that that Paul had to go to the other apostles to be formally recognized and then publicly presented as a person who belongs to Jesus Christ, not just while we having a prayer line, somebody just yells something in your face and then send you out. I think that and I like what you're doing. We do something similar at our forums every year. We make a big deal about inductions and about, appointment and installation. We do a big thing about that because I believe that people need to know who God is backing. Now, here's how I'm going to end this statement. I watched when we do it, the heavens do respond.
They do. They do.
And that's what we ignore. So I was, I'm thinking you must have the same line of thought on your end of it.
Oh, definitely, because, just like you, I started laughing when you said, then I saw these other angels come down and what have you, because, sometimes I'm talking to people, and I feel like the little boy who was in the Sixth Sense when he said, I see dead people, That's a joke, folk. Because I'm sitting there, I said, hey, the other day I was talking to, and they kind of look at me. And then I say, but I saw this. And that we need that in order to accomplish what God has called us to accomplish. There is no way that we can do this on our own. Flesh, whatever, that we can't do it. But there's another level. For me, what I see is just unbelievable revelation and wisdom that opens up and that comes down when you just obey God and move, apostolically in what he's calling you to do. So I get excited. And then what we're seeing right now, we're seeing that paradigm shifting of things. And I'm not saying that in this traditional sense of the word, what other folks are saying. I'm saying I see a backing. I don't just see a backing. I don't just feel a backing. I see it. I feel it. I'm experiencing the backing of heaven's courts on our behalf, because there's a momentum growing that's pushing us forth into what he's called us to do, because I believe that people will be looking at what we're doing who need to really get themselves in order and get even their organizations in order as well, but they don't have even a prototype to look at, if you feel me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Let me say this, and I'm going to say it. Because what I'm seeing, I keep telling.
Hello? We lost her, Ashley.
She's still live on the line. I think her phone is having a problem.
She might have hit her mute button. Do we have her back?
I'm still seeing her. So why don't you go ahead with your statement, and hopefully we'll be able to bring her back.
All right, and you can just text her or something. But I want to say to you all, this has been a great conversation, and I'd like to have these kinds of discussions, and probably in the future we'll be increasing those on the show. But for those of you who are interested, Prophet Ashley is going to give you that information, but if not, just go to either my Facebook and you'll see the flyer, or you can go to my website, drpaulaprice.com, or ppmglobalresources.com to get more information on how this is done, particularly if you are a prophet, if you have a prophetic company, if you have an intercessor. It really doesn't matter. But you do need to recognize that contrary to what people say, God has an order. And God likes demarcations. He likes to mark the end of one thing and the beginning of another one, or the next thing in the sequence. So having said that, I do encourage you all to check this out and then join me in September in Jacksonville, Florida. Well, Ashley, where are we?
All right, she's dialing back in. She said she was on a landline, too, of all things.
See, she probably should have been on the cell, see?
She did everything right, and it still cut up.
And I know it had to, because that was going to be a nice, meaty statement. And I would love for her to finish it before we wrap up our interview.
Okay, let's see. Are you back?
All Are you there?
All right. Okay, we're still working out the key. Oh, hold on. Let me see. I think I found her. All right. Is this you, Apostle? Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can't. And, you know, you were getting ready to hit it. You said, now, let me say this. Dead air. So,
I know. You know what? It's got to be something crazy because, you know what? I was on a landline.
But you know what? That just gives us an opportunity to hear it again because, you know, we're warriors. So we're going to say it. So you have to go back to right after, well, let me say this.
Well, here's the deal. You know, there's a momentum that we have going, and I believe that there are so many prophets out of order, so many prophets who are really essentially in perversion because they haven't been healed from the past. And so there is a generation right now of Lone Ranger prophets who need to be reeled back in. And until they are reeled back in the right way for the kingdom, they will continue to spew perversion and many times not even know it because they are walking in deception and have no idea at the level that they are being used by on the other side.
Hmm. Wow. Well, you know what I have to say, I agree with you, but I think the only way that's going to happen is that the people like yourself, me, and those others that God has given a model to have do two things. Number one, become established and therefore recognized. And number two, become so conspicuous and unite to the point that the ones that are just roaming are kind of squeezed in, because right now they don't know what makes what they're doing wrong or right or different from ours. And until those distinctions are made, which God alone must make, I mean, really, in the grand scheme of things, it's on him. But until those distinctions are made, these people are going to stay there just doing what they know, because remember, we are operating in a gift mentality, and that's the problem.
Hallelujah. That is so true. That is so true. I mean, I have to tell people, well, you know this. You and I talk about this all the time. Like, yeah, I have to tell folks they haven't quite made it to the ascension of their prophetic mantle yet. They're still in kind of that prophetic intercessor mode right there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we get, I mean, we talk about it. You get folks upset with you and everything. But I agree wholeheartedly with everything that you said as well. And that's why I believe also that, you know, people like you and me have to unite, and we have to do it from a public point of view and as well as we move forward so folks can see that we're all on the same team.
Absolutely, going for God's best interest. And so, listen, give people the last little bit of information on how to get with us in February. I want them to hear you say what we're doing and where we're doing it and how to get there and what kind of contact information you have for them.
Okay, great. I will do that. Now remember, it's called the Prophetic Convocation 2014. But this particular theme this year is Manifesting Prophetic Destiny. Every night from the 25th through the 27th, we're going to have what I call a one-day prophetic revival, because we're having great people. That first night on that Thursday, we're having Prophet Joseph Waller from the Detroit, Michigan area. Then that Friday night is the night. Dr. Paula Price will be there, you know, releasing the word of the Lord for the prophets at that moment and for the body right then and there. And then we will lay hands on, I want to say it's either 7 to 9 prophets that we'll be laying hands on releasing. And then that night right after that is when we're going to have that red carpet affair, what I call the prophetic conclave. It's a private prophetic conclave where we will be celebrating the release of Dr. Paula's new book, and we'll also, they'll have a special impartation to those who are really ready to go to the next level. And then all throughout the week from Wednesday through Saturday, there will be special teachings. We'll do, my husband and I, Bishop Rawlinson, are going to do a whole workshop and intensive on urban church planning. That's going to take place that Wednesday. The next day, I'm going to do a whole intensive for prophetic and apostolic women in ministry. That's going to take place that
Thursday, and then that Friday during the day is when we'll have the prophetic prayer summit, and we'll also have, you know, basic teachings on the prophetic. And so that's going to be a great day as well. And then that Saturday, we'll have prophecy and deliverance all day long, 101. You need some prophecy, you need some deliverance, come and get delivered that day. On that Saturday, and then Sunday will be the culmination. My husband and I will be ministering that Sunday at 10 o'clock. This is all taking place at the Worship Place here in Jacksonville, Florida. The Worship Place is at 2627 Springland Road. How do you find out more information? Simply go to propheticconvocation.com. 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 Go there. All your information is there. The evening services are open and free, but you have to register. The folks who are being ordained, less count I got from that. My the prophet in charge of protocol that night, she said, I think the prophets who are being ordained, it looks like they have 60 to 70 folks coming themselves. I said, what? So you need to make sure you register, and you need to get there early that Friday night. But these are early every night. But that Friday night, you probably need to get there early. We're going to open up the doors at 6 that night. Service starts at 7. Dr. Price.
That's excellent. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on today and sharing with us your thoughts about it. And really, I want you to personally invite the audience to come. I want to say, as we begin to close out our interview here, everybody who's listening to us, if you are a chief prophet, head of prophets, you have a prophetic company, intercessors, if you have any kind of institution, whatever, in your church, as you can see, there's something for church, something for fivefolders, you need to make it out. But I especially want those of you who are in the prophetic to come and see how God is branding the presentation of new prophetic voices into his kingdom. I think that's very important. I want to thank you so much, Apostle Duane, for joining me today, and I'm looking forward to us getting together next month. But until then, God bless you and be powerful.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you as well. Love you much, and I will see you next month. Can I share this real quick about any business owners or whoever who are there?
Yes.
You know, the other thing that we have, God told me about a magazine, and we're going to actually launch that magazine while we are there this particular weekend. So it's called The Prophetic Voice. We're launching it. I want to give your audience a special code. I'm going to give them a discount if they decide that they want to advertise in there. Once they come to propheticconvocation.com, there's a place that said become a sponsor. For everybody in your audience, I will probably give them 10 to 15% off of advertising, and their code is going to be Paula Price Show.
Very good. Well, you heard it here, folks. We have another brand new magazine coming out. I happen to be very personally in love with magazines anyway. I like the idea. So, again, go to the Prophetic Convocation site and get your copy. Click in so that you'll be a part of what God is doing with this wonderful woman of God.
Amen. Thank you so much. Love you. Have a great time, and I appreciate everything that you're doing and cannot wait for you to be here. The word is out. Dr. Paula Price will be here in Jacksonville at the Worship Place that Friday night. And then you guys, Drew Chambers is going to be here ministering right before and in song right before I minister that Saturday. So we're going to have a fabulous time.
I'm looking forward to it. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Woo, Prophet Ashley, it's going to be wonderful, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I'm so glad I'm going to be there. I'm excited.
Yes, I know. We're letting you come this time, okay, Prophet?
Thanks.
Okay, do I have callers? I want to talk to my people.
You have people. I want to remind you all, you can press that number one to speak with Dr. Price. Oh, see, it's already lighting up. And as a reminder, if you press the number one, don't walk away from your phone. I know you get into the show, Dr. Price is saying it, but I'm going to break in and I'm going to try and get your prayer request, and you're not going to be there. So make sure you are there with your phone, or your phone is with you, if you press that one to speak with Dr. Price. Again, we are going to our first caller, Dr. Price. This is Judy from Alabama, and she's calling because she's going through some spiritual warfare right now and needs some prayer. So Judy from Alabama, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you.
Hello, Judy. How are you doing today in Alabama?
I'm doing fine. Just going through this spiritual warfare, demons attacking, and I said, but I know no weapon formed against me but prosper. We got more people praying for you.
Well, let me ask you this, Judy. How is it that demons feel like it's really okay to just come and beat you up?
That's what I want to know, because I don't get in my throat after I rebuke you and covering in the blood of Jesus. It's been going on for 2.5 years. I don't know who's causing it, but I've been seeing things, and I see
okay,
things in my dreams.
Okay, but let me back up. Now, let me back up. So, Judy, what kind of books do you read?
I read the Bible.
And?
I read my worldly daily bread.
Okay.
And that's basically what all I read.
Well, you're doing something. So what kind of study have you had?
What do you mean studies? Like what?
Like, do you study other people's books, or do you have classes or go to training or something like that for church?
I go to church. I go to Wednesday night service when I can get there. I don't have transportation. They usually have Bible study, but now they just have regular church. I go to church on Sundays. I'm in the choir and the whole works.
And what kind of church do you go to, Mother Love?
Baptist.
Okay. So you okay, that's good. Now, have you been in the church a long time?
Yes, all my life.
The same church?
Not the same church. I was brought up in Church of God in Christ, and in 84 I changed over to Baptist.
Okay. Now, and the reason I'm asking you, because, see, I know one thing about how life works in the kingdom, and usually it's got that kind of torment that you're discussing, that there is something going on in your life that is encouraging that, you know, whether it's movies you read, friends you have, organizations you've been through, somebody that's in your family, some people marry into it, I don't know, but usually there is reason. So that is why I'm asking you those questions, especially if Jesus doesn't stop it after 2.5 years.
Yes. My ex-husband started 2 years ago when he started coming, the last part of our marriage, things started happening to me.
And what did he do to cause that to happen? Why do you think it's him?
I don't know if it's him or someone around him, but the prophet had told me it had something to do with them. They didn't want us together. He would come home. He told me one day, take this pill while I'm taking this pill, and I'm sick. I don't have a cold. And different things he was doing that made me wonder what's going on. And after I got really sick, I didn't know. It kind of scared me in the beginning. And now I've been just getting into my word more and reading about this, and because I didn't know nothing about spirituals like this. And someone said, somebody's doing something.
Okay, so... But let me ask you this. So you said you talked to other prophets. What prophet told you?
I was at a revival one night, and he told me that someone is doing something to me. And I said, why is anybody doing anything to me? I'm not bothering no one. I don't run the streets. My house is not running over with people. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I said, if I've done something, Lord, forgive me. Because I may be ignorant of what I've done, but I don't know what I've done.
Okay, so you went to this revival, and this prophet, now he told you before it started happening?
He told me after it started happening. A few things was happening, but I didn't take notice of my sickness. I just figured I was having problems because I already had health problems. And a few things was coming up, missing out of my apartment. And then one night I was standing in my living room, and all of a sudden I felt like someone was jumping on my body, and the room was just trembling. And then next morning, someone showed up at my door calling my name. I didn't know who they were, so I didn't open the door.
Did you tell this to the prophet?
No.
Okay, so you didn't tell him any of this. He just picked you out of nowhere.
I didn't tell him anything. He was just talking, saying that you were still up on the floor. Actually, I thought he was talking to someone else. And my friend said, I think he sounded like he's talking about you. And he pointed at me and said, I'm talking about you. He said, they're trying to take you out. He said, there's three women. I said, why anyone try to take me out? Because they're jealous of your husband, of your marriage that you was getting along so good. I said, but we're not together no more. He said, well, the thing is because they don't want you to be back together.
Well, here's where I'm at with the whole thing, Judy. I'm going to stand on what I know because I know what I know. There is a piece of this story I'm not getting, and we probably won't get through it on this call because I know there's a piece of this story that I'm not getting. But I will say this to you. I'm going to pray for you. And okay. I know that there are things that are happening in your house, and I know that you are a part of it. I don't know whether, talking about three women, I don't know if they were your friends or they were women that you used to be a part of some sort of club or group with, but you were involved with this whole thing somewhere. Because God, my attitude with God, and I've learned it, is that we have to let things in. Because the Bible says the blood of Jesus is what it stands against us as a witness that we are Christ and that there's no sorcery against Jacob. So that means that either in your childhood or in the way you all live, that's a common way of talking. And so they feel like they got this kind of free-fall thing going on or whatever, because the kind of stuff you're talking about, you're just being tormented for no reason. You're not in ministry. You're not changing lives. You're not touching folks. People are not getting saved. You're just reading your Bible and going to church. I got a problem.
Well, I minister to other people. Other people call me. I just constantly talking about how good the God is, how God done it for me, that he can do it for you. He brought me from a mile long way. I said, because through all this, I never stopped praising him. And
yeah,
when
but
I decided,
that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you taking and calling the folks and having some phone calls. Because let me tell you something. I know a woman who had that exact same life, and she did go out of here just like that. I'm talking about having a ministry where you are touching lives, not one or two people filtering through and in your own home. But I'm going to pray for you, but I'm telling you what I know. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to see what God says. Father, I give you all the praise for who you are. I give you all the glory and all the honor for what's going on. Now, Jesus, you are the all-seeing God, omniscient, omnipresent, everywhere. So, God, you know this thing, past, present, and future. I'm asking that you begin to awaken this woman and show her what it is that she's got going on in her life. God, I thank you that you stopped those visitations from the husband and stopped her praying for this man to come back in her life. God, I thank you for delivering her soul and cleaning her house out in Jesus' name. God, I'm asking that you go through memorabilia and mementos and souvenirs and, Lord, all of that other nonsense that we do when we don't want to let go. Deliver my sister. Deliver her home. Deliver her heart. Deliver her family. And deliver her household in every regard. God, I thank you for it. And Lord, I break this covenant that she's got going on with this unclean spirit. And I'm asking God that you would deliver her and purge her home and purge her soul, excuse me, according to the words of this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Now listen, I want you to do me a favor. When this is over, I want you to kind of, you know, check my website and maybe call and find out. Let us know what's going on. And also, if you need counseling or something, we have counseling. Don't belittle what you're going through. I think it's very real, but I think that it takes a lot more than this phone call for us to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, because there's a lot going on that I can't tell you over line.
Yeah, but you don't have to tell me a lot. When I prayed, I saw a lot. That's why I said what I said. So I want you to, you know, if you want, you can call our offices for some prayer and counseling and see what happens. But I'm going to tell you right now, you have to make some serious changes.
Okay.
You're going to have to make those changes. That's got to happen. So until we hear from you again, my beloved, you know, we're going to hold you up and you stay in prayer. If you want more prayer, call my offices and we'll get one of our people to pray with you.
Okay, what is this, the number I called in is where I called?
No. If you go to my website, drpaulaprice.com, you'll see it.
Okay, I sure will. I sure will call in because I got to get to the bottom of this.
All right. Take care.
All right.
What's that?
All right.
Do I have another caller?
You know what, Dr. Price? You have another caller. You have
another
caller. Is Roderick from Florida. Florida's checking in today, and he would like prayer. He needs a breakthrough in his understanding of God from what I could gather from our conversation, his consciousness of who God is and connecting with him. So, Roderick, welcome to the Paul Christ Show.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, Roderick. Is this your first time calling us?
Yes, ma'am.
Sounds like I thought I might have heard from you before, so talk to me. What are you doing in Florida, sir?
Well, I do a lot of ministering. I'm in training of the prophet right now. I do a lot of ministry with just a lot of – well, basically, Lord has me following after Matthew 28, the Great Commission. So I'm discipling a lot of people. Lord's been showing me a lot. as far as breathing the breath of life and getting into the river and, you know, just showing people different things. But I just want to make sure that the consciousness of God and in the river that I step into, I'm not falsely claiming anything. I mean, I don't think that's one of my problems. I just want to be sure.
Well, you seem like you're a little uncomfortable. You said you're in ministry training and then you're in prophetic training. Is that what's happening?
In the prophetic training.
Okay.
And
so
you're
in a prophetic training in your church. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And how long have you been in this training?
What's today? 4 days now? Oh, 3 days? Yeah, it hasn't been a full week.
So you're brand new now. So then let's talk about this ministry. So what are you ministering to others? You say you've been ministering to others. Who are these others? Where are you getting them from?
Well, the Lord sends them. Since 2013, the Lord has blessed us with, it's called OPS, Overpowering Satan Operations. It's a play on words, but the Lord sends me different people. It's been ranging from about, I want to say, my youngest is 19, oldest is about, he's an elder. I don't know how old he is. But, you know, just bringing the word of God. And
so do you have your own ministry, Roderick? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, ma'am, outside of the confines of my mother's garage.
Okay, so you have a home thing going on, is what you're saying.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the prophetic training that you have, I have a reason, be a little patient with me. I have a reason for going this direction with you. So the prophetic training you're having, is that at another church? Is that your church? Or you have ministry during the week and then you go into a church on the weekend?
Well, no, actually, I'm at about three different churches. My actual home church that I'm a member at is Greater Dimensions Christian Assembly in Jacksonville, Florida. My mother, she went there a couple of times, and then she ended up going to the River Empowerment Center that's in Jacksonville as well. Now, the apostle that's over that, he is training prophets as well. So I've been, you know, going over there and then also going to mine. But then when I get over there, you know, he just loves my spirit, and he decided to take me under his wing and train me in the prophetic.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been there. So let me get it right, because, see, I'm getting your heart of this thing. You're going to really be excited when I finally get there. But
sure.
Okay. So you've got three churches that you are involved with, but you're not – and then you have – one of them is your home church, you think.
Okay, well, then let's make it four. So three that I'm involved with, and then the fourth is my own.
Okay, so you have three, and you have been in prophetic training for 4 days, which means that this church that you're involved in for the prophetic training is really new. I mean, it's really kind of new.
No. I think he's been in ministry about 14 years. That's what he said.
But how long have you been with him?
As far as I could say officially with him, Sunday. Last Sunday?
Okay. So here's where I am, because I'm listening to you, and you sound like you're an extraordinarily enthusiastic man. You love God. You want to do for God. You are excited. You want to jump in, and you want to do it all. You want to do it all now. You've got this awakening, and you're just through. Okay? Problem is you have not learned God. And you've not learned how he's doing things. And the reason that you're uncertain is because you've got clashing anointings and clashing streams. So you've got this over here and this over here and this over here. You cannot be an all-purpose minister. The number one thing God wants from you, the Roderick, is for you to sit down and learn of him. You obviously have just tapped into a new awakening in God's spiritual things, and so it feels great, and it's wonderful. You just have a blast. Problem is that it's not going to lead you anywhere. You're going to have to make a decision as to what church you're going to be in and what leader you're going to be under, and then you're going to need to submit to it. Okay? You are not in a position to go and take on all of these people's issues and to pray for all of these folks as if you have a place in God and a power with God that you don't yet have. It might be your calling, but it is not your present. And so I just hear God saying to you, son, slow down. Temper it, bring it down a little, and make up your mind. If you're going to do this prophetic training, then you need to stop everything and get trained. How would you like to have a doctor to tell you he's going to do surgery on you while he's still learning and still in school? You probably don't want to go to that doctor. You probably want to go to the one that finished his training.
You're right.
But yet you are operating on God's people as a novice.
Okay. I have a question now. And this is just from experience from last week. Yeah, it was last week. How do I slow down if he shows me too much that I can handle? When he showed me, this was not last Sunday, the Sunday before that, I walked on water. The very next day I died for 10 minutes, and then he resurrected me. I don't understand how to slow down no longer, because I see this is just too great, and I just want to dive in.
Hold on. Now, who showed you? The Lord showed you that you walked on water, and then you died and came back?
Yes.
Okay.
Monday morning.
So did you die before you walked on the water or after you walked on the water?
It was the next day.
Okay. So you jumped out there to try to act like Peter, and then you died. Do you remember Peter didn't walk on water either?
That he did what?
Do you remember that Peter did not walk on water either? He stepped out on the water and then began to drown?
Mm-hmm.
Because he went ahead of what Jesus was ready for him to do? Peter went in his own strength. The next day you died and came back to life. And I'm going to tell you something. Just because you're having all of these spectacular things does not mean God is telling you to go act on them. He may be awakening you to what's going on. He may be doing it, or your heart may be doing it because you've read your Bible and you're having a blast.
Yes, I am having a blast.
So then that means that you're operating on sheer enthusiasm, and you can't really filter out what is God and what is you. Because when you first start with God, a lot of times you hear those powerful sermons and people who want to move in the power of God and they want to move in signs and wonders and miracles. Okay, it's no different than if you wanted to be a basketball player or a musician. You'd start dreaming it and seeing yourself doing it. That doesn't mean you're ready to do it. So if you decided tomorrow I want to be an NBA player, then and you start seeing yourself doing it, I could just see myself doing it. The other night I actually dreamed I was doing it. It was so real, I thought it was me. Do you think that means you're ready to get on the court?
No.
But yet we do that to God. I still maintain you need to finish your training. If you're going to train, you cannot practice what you're called to do and learn it at the same time, because you are doing what you feel, you're doing what you see, you're doing what you like. You may not be doing what God needs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm telling you right now, I'm going to ask God, because you know what? I'm that kind of peculiar apostle that if this is going to shipwreck you, then I need you to shut that down.
Amen.
All right? So I'm going to ask God, if this is God for you, then I'm going to ask him to continue to clarify. If not, I'm going to shut it down as a false move. Because if I don't shut it down, you're going to get in a lot of trouble. And when God really needs you, you're going to be so wounded from going ahead of him, you're not going to obey him when he's ready.
Yes, ma'am.
So that's what I'm asking God to do. If it is not the Lord Jesus Christ, then I ask him to shut that down and get you in a church where you need to be, and then get you under the apostle that he has chosen to get you ready. You have a definite call. It reminds me a lot of my first 6 weeks with God. My first 6 weeks, my gosh, I had all that going on, but I knew I wasn't ready. But then I had come from a professional background, and I know just because you can do something doesn't mean that you're good at it. And so I'm going to just ask God, if that's for him, to shut you down and to give you the right leader. You need the right leader, because too much is riding on you getting it right.
Amen. Okay.
Is that fair enough?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So, God, I thank you for Roderick. I thank you for his exuberance, his joy, and his enthusiasm. But, Lord Jesus, I thank you for putting him under the right leader and in the right training. I'm asking that you would pull this off of him, God, and put him in training mode so that he can master this stuff instead of just be fascinated with it. God, I thank you for delivering him from whatever else it would shipwreck your call in his life, and that you would give him good mentors and good trainers who will begin to lead him and guide him into all truth and cause him to rightly divide the word of truth and rightly discern the spirits that are moving in his life. And I bless you, Father, for doing it in Jesus' omnipotent name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Now, listen, I'm going to be in your part of the country. You heard that, right? So you need to come visit me.
I definitely want to. You're talking about the convocation?
Yes.
Yes, I definitely want to. And I need to get in touch with Apostle Rowling, so I know she wants me to be there.
Well, you need to just come and visit. It'd be nice.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All righty. God bless you.
All right. God bless y'all. Take care.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Prophet?
All right. Got to get him in the right lane, Dr. Price.
Shedebo. I got to tell you, God is a good God today. He has definitely got us walking out and stretching out. Do I have another caller, beloved?
Yes, you do. Calling from Alabama. We're back in Alabama today. For our second caller is Sonia. Excuse me. And Sonia is calling because she needs prayer for her brother and her family. He's diagnosed with a mental illness, and it's taking its toll on the family. And so she needs some prayer. Sonia, welcome to the Paula Price Show. You're live with Dr. Price.
Good afternoon, Dr. Price.
Good afternoon, Sonia. I'm glad you called in today. Is this your first call?
No, ma'am, it's not.
Okay, I was wondering about that. So now talk to me. What is it that you want me to pray for?
Well, my brother has been diagnosed with a mental illness, and just over the last several years, he's been in and out of mental institutions and group homes. And it just seems like over the last, maybe the last year or so, well, the last couple of years, he has not been able to remain at those group homes. It seems like there's always something coming up, and he's getting, put out, or he feels that, he doesn't like it, he doesn't want to be there, but he has no other place, to live.
Well, if he doesn't stay there, where would he go?
Well, I don't know, I don't know. There are, like the Salvation Army or what's called Waterfront Mission, here, where they allow people, to stay there from time to time. But, and what happened this last group home where he was, which he's been there for about 3 weeks, he called my sister and told her that the owner jumped on him and put him out. And so, we're having to, deal with that. I don't know all the details with that, but I'm just trying to, find out, what's really going on, with him. But this has been a pattern, for him.
But if he continues to put out, what would be the permanent solution for him? Like, if he doesn't like group homes and he can't stay on the street, what kind of investigation have you all done for him to be settled and safe?
Well, that's what I'm trying to, figure out now and work on now. I've been contacting certain people and trying to get information to see what I can do, to help him. I was maybe considering, trying to find an apartment that's maybe based on the income that he does get, and maybe he can stay there by himself. But we probably would need someone to come in because he's on medication, I guess to monitor him or see to it that he's taking his medication properly.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. Okay. Oh, you want to say something else?
Well, yes, ma'am. Well, will you pray for me? Because I've been kind of considering maybe should I become his legal guardian. Our mom right now, health-wise, she's not really able to address, you know, these issues with him because she's on dialysis, and so she just has, you know, her own problems herself. So I've kind of been, you know, considering should I, you know, take that role or not.
Well, didn't he used to stay with your mother and give her, and wasn't he giving her a difficult time?
When he lived with our mom, yes, he gave her a difficult time. Yes.
That was our first call. Wasn't that our first call?
Ma'am?
Wasn't that our first call when you first called me?
No, ma'am, no.
Okay, because I just saw that he was giving your mom a difficult time. Here's the thing. If you are the one that's concerned and you have the resources for it and you have all of those things, then you should take that off your mom. But you should also be very clear on where he's going to go and what he's going to do. But, yeah, I think you should have power of attorney over his life. He obviously can't run his own life. I mean, that just isn't possible. Your mom obviously cannot do the legwork involved in getting him soaked.
Right.
So it seems like it's falling to you. So the answer to that is absolutely. He is your brother. You feel responsible for him. You're very concerned about what he does and how he lives every day. So that would fall to you. That's no question about that. The other thing is that I will pray for God to connect him with the group home who has the director that can break through his fog so that he will want to stay. He seriously has obviously connecting with anything that's going to put a demand on him makes him angry. And so when they start demanding him to do anything, he doesn't like to be told what to do. He doesn't want anybody to tell him what to do. He doesn't want to have obligations. He wants to kind of float through life the way he sees it. And so it doesn't make a difference how many of the homes you get in. He still has to meet that person. And there is a person who will... that he will connect with. That's the prayer I'm going to pray for him, that he'll connect with that person and trust him. He doesn't trust anyone. He believes nothing.
Right. You're absolutely right.
So clearly we need to pray for him to get the person that he can believe. Whoever violated him at the beginning of his life, and this I'm looking at him as a little kid, so whoever violated him then was somebody he trusted, and they trapped him. He felt trapped. And he felt like, I can't get out, and I can't get away, and nobody's there to help me. And so he's operating on the fact that he's not letting anything tie him down or confine him again. Therefore, we have to pray for God to bring the person in his world that he can trust and that he doesn't fear, because as soon as they put their hands on him, he's out. He doesn't like it. He don't believe that he doesn't want to be touched. He doesn't want anybody to make him do any rules. He wants to just go through his life, as, you know, the way he thinks it should be. So I'm praying for that. That is my prayer for your brother.
Yes.
Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father God. I thank you. I thank you for this young man. Lord, you were with him the day that his soul broke, and you were there to witness how it happened. So, God, I'm asking that you step into his life and take over his life. Guide him to the group home that he feels safe in. Lord, connect him with the director that he can trust, that he believes in, that he feels won't harm him. God, I thank you that you are going to put him to a place where he will relax his will enough to be healed, to receive their treatment, to submit to their counseling, and, Lord, to be made whole. I'm asking that you would do that for him, Father, in Jesus' name. And I'm asking that you would do it immediately, Lord. Let's not even over the next 3 to 5 days, God. I'm asking that you would step up and take over this situation for him, so that he can get back on the path of healing and wellness. And I bless you for doing it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Glory.
God bless you, my beloved. Hey, listen, keep us,
I was just thanking him, thanking God, yes. And I thank you for the prayers.
You're very welcome. Keep us posted. We do care about him. And I know God heard that prayer, and I know it's going to happen very soon.
Yes, thank you. And I will.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Prophet, I think I got time for one more.
Amen. Yes, you do. I'm going to put Latasha from New York on the line. Dr. Price, you spoke with her at the top of this year, she said, and gave her a word about a job. And so she has a question as a follow-up about it. She's in limbo with her job right now, and she just needs to know where she is with his word. So Latasha from New York, welcome back to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you. Hi, Dr. Price.
Hi, Natasha from New York. How are you doing? Is it hot up there?
Yeah, it's hot up here today. It was hotter yesterday. It's a little breeze coming through today.
Well, welcome back to the show. How can I help you?
You know, in the beginning of the year, you know, you told me that, you know, keep looking. You prayed that I see the rim and the thicket, and God, you said, and I'll get the call back. So I got a call back. And I got a call back about a month or so ago, gave in my resignation to my other job, and now I've been in limbo with the job. And it's just been so frustrating, and, you know, my finances are starting to run out. So everything just seems, you know, a little pulling and trying right now, and I'm like, is this the job? And you said trust it, and I'm like, is this the job I'm supposed to be trusting because I'm going through all this stuff in the process of getting it?
Well, let me ask you this. When you gave in your resignation to the other job, why did you do that? Did you already have a job offer?
Yeah, I had the job, and I was supposed to start, but the paperwork and everything didn't go through on time, and I'm still waiting on that process. So I thought I was supposed to. So I didn't give up the job thinking that I'm looking for one. I gave up the job with the expectation that I had this job, and I was supposed to start then.
Well, that's kind of weird. I mean, did they give you an actual offer with a start date?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden the paperwork was in process and they needed sign-offs, and then so it's just been a process. So now they're saying I'm looking at another 2 weeks, so I'm like, is this it? Like, or should I be doing something else, or, like, what's going on?
Well, you can always tempt to get a few dollars, but let me just tell you this. I'm going to pray for this thing to come through for you because that's a fluke. And, I mean, I can't imagine, unless I'm not hearing part of the story, I can't imagine a company telling you you have a job and the paperwork didn't go through, because obviously either the paperwork should have gone through or it should have been, you know, because to me when you do paperwork, that's when you're going to start the date. You know, I'm going to be there Monday. I'm going to go Wednesday morning. I'm going to do my paperwork, and then I'm going to start work in a couple of days later. So I'm not quite sure what happened there. Are you aware of what happened?
Well, it was a position created for me. So it was a process of so I'm getting sign-offs and everything else. So, and I guess it got some sign-offs weren't able to be get in and things in that nature.
Wow, well, so, that sounds like a fluke. So so did the person who promised you the job have the authority to promise it?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Did you get a letter saying, welcome, we hired you, or something like that?
Well, I filled out all the paperwork, so now I'm just waiting on, you know, it's okay, you can start.
All right. Well, let me just pray. Father, I thank you so much for being God. I thank you, Lord, for being the Lord of her life and in charge of this process and procedure. So, God, I break this bind. I disintegrate this stall passage in Jesus' name. I expedite this. I accelerate it by the Spirit of the living God according to the authority granted me to get this woman to work to finish this process. And whatever the stuck place is, God, I dislodge it. In the name of Jesus. And God, we put her to work quickly and immediately at the amount that she was told, in the position that she's told, with the responsibilities that she was promised, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Price.
You're very welcome. Keep me posted now, girl, okay?
I will. Thank you.
You're very welcome. God bless you. Bye-bye. Okay. Hey, Ashley, I might be able to get one more in. You know, I'm rolling today, girl.
All right, and I have one more for you. We have on the line Heather from Missouri. She's listened to the call a couple of times, Dr. Price, and she would like prayer for her children. Heather, welcome to the Paul Price Show.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, Heather. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's a good 96 degrees in Missouri right now.
Ooh, it's probably about the same here in Tulsa. how can I help you?
Well, I have to say, I know you don't know me, but I have been through so much, and the last 2 years was really what the Lord was doing was taking me out of a situation, taking my children out of a situation that really needed to be we needed to be taken out of a long time ago. But the Lord came through. He took us out of that situation. It was a very abusive situation for me and my children. And when I came out of that situation, I found out that my children had told me that they were molested by my ex-husband. Well, we went through 2 years of court, and the court says that they didn't have enough evidence to prove that he's done anything to my children. But in the meanwhile, my children are still in a state of despair because of what he has done to them. My middle child is at the worst right now. She is very rebellious, very cruel with her words. And I love her because she's my daughter. I love her, but I cannot put up with what she's saying or doing. But I do understand that why she's doing this and saying these things. But at the same time, I have to kind of distance myself from it because it is very aggressive towards me, and it's just a bad situation. My oldest daughter, she's 19. She has a child already. She is basically trying to find her way through the whole mess of things. And I gently try to guide her there, but she's the one that's listening. My son claimed, and he's 7, so he claimed that his dad touched him as well. But because of the courts not finding anything, my son is, out of the 3 children, my son is the one having to do visitations with him. Because my son is his dad, and my 2 girls are from another marriage. So he is the one having to do the visitations, and his dad is saying, well, you know, your sisters put this up, you know, put you up to all this, and, you know, it really didn't happen. So, you know, there's some brainwashing going there. I believe if my children told me this, then is true. I don't have any inkling that it's not, but I would like to hear what the Lord has more. He's already told me much on this, but I would like to hear more because it's unresolved, and I'm not good with unresolved things, and I would just like some prayer.
Okay, well, here's the thing. We don't, you know, I wish I'd have got you a little earlier in the show because I'm going to pray because I don't have time to really explore this in depth with you, but I would like to ask you, how long were you married to this person?
11 years.
Okay, so, and how old is your middle child?
She is 16.
Okay, so she was quite young, obviously.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
you married him, and so in all of that time, they never. When did they mention that he had been molesting them?
Well, it was 2 years ago. My oldest daughter, at the time she was 16, she mentioned that to me, and I really didn't know what to do. But you know, the next day, literally, the Lord had picked us up and got us out of there. And, you know, I went to work. I told my daughter, I said, I'm going to figure out what to do when I get back home and try to just stay away from him. And so, you know, while I was at work, my daughter called the police because my husband found out, and he was on the way to my work and to confront me, and my daughter was afraid for my sake, so she called the police, and then from there we're dumped into a women's shelter,
and I've been trying to fight for my children ever since.
So you don't have your children with you?
I do. Well, I have my son with me. My two older girls, Dana, she's 19. She's living on her own. And my 16-year-old Tabitha, she went to go live with her biological dad because she just could not handle it. Everything was just too much for her.
Okay, well, let me pray because I don't want you to run out of time for prayer. And then if you want, you can call our office for more counsel. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for this woman. I thank you for Heather, her life, God, and for even the fact that she's reaching out to you, God. You said that those who call on the name of the Lord, Lord, would not be ashamed and that you would hear an answer. And clearly you have taken this matter in your own hands and in tow. So I'm asking, God, that you continue to bring her all the way through this. Lord, whatever needs to be revealed, we reveal what's in the darkness. We expose the lie. We expose the sea. We uncover the uncleanness that is there, God, hiding under the covers. And we thank you for doing that, God. I thank you also for giving her a good counselor and mentor. She needs a good counselor and mentor as well as those children. Lord, right now it is up to you to take over this situation and to resolve it, God, according to your righteousness. So we commend this into your hands. We commend them to your spirit. We commend them to your wisdom. And, Lord, we commend them to your sovereignty in this situation. Lord, I thank you for healing those kids, touching your daughters, and, Lord, causing them to get the help they need and the connections they need to be made whole. And, God, if there is an issue between the son and his father, then I'm asking you, Jesus Christ, to step in and sovereignly expose it by your spirit, and we bless you for doing it all for this woman and for her family in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Listen, we do want to hear, so keep us posted. If you want more counsel, just contact our office, and they can set that up for you.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome, Heather. God bless you.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay,
yes,
Father,
ma'am.
Girl, we ran out, didn't we?
Yes, you ran it all the way through.
Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Listen, in just about a few more weeks, my book will be ready, my book Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum. We're going to start giving you sound bites and readings so you can hear what makes the book so great. I've written a lot of material. I've done a lot of research in my life, but I am convinced, persuaded of the Lord, that this is one of the most pivotal books that I've ever written, and I think it's going to be one of the most pivotal books to hit the planet. And so just keep a listen for us. We're going to go over it. We're going to review it. We'll have other readers read it and people share their points. I will ask each and one of you out there, please pray for me that I get it done and pray for us that it can hit the market in the way it should and that it is received as God wants and circulated as widely as possible. Well, Prophet Ashley, do you have any closing remarks on this explosive show that we've had today?
I think we have truly said it all. From the exhortation to the prayers and the council, it's been a powerful show once again. Dr. Price, you never disappoint.
Well, then I'm going to wrap it up. For those of you who want to continue, remember it doesn't end here. Just because we're hanging up the phone doesn't mean that we're cutting off communications. You can go to Blog Talk Radio. You can hear the show again. If you got counsel today, you want to go back to Blog Talk Radio and listen to the counsel again and again to make sure you heard everything that was said. All of you who have friends, don't just listen yourself. Pass it on to your friends. There's a lot of wisdom on this show. There's a lot of wisdom on the site. Pass it along so that others can benefit from this. Until next Thursday, I want to bless you all. I say God bless you. I say let the Lord be glorified in your life. But this week he says to tell you, be bold as a lion and go after what he has told you to do. In Jesus' name, God bless. Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price, host of the Paula Price Show, reminding you to revisit last week's program at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.
Support support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.